It's time for Mind Your Business on 710 WOR and the iHeartRadio Network to present the weekly business radio show produced by the award-winning marketing firm Bottom Line Marketing Group, BLMG, sharing business and marketing strategies to make you and your business successful. Now, here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis.
Thank you for joining me here on another edition of Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis, broadcasting at 10 p.m. on Sunday nights in the New York, New Jersey metro area and throughout America on the powerful iHeart Radio Network. By the way, in the New York, New Jersey metro area on 710 WOR, special thank you to all our loyal listeners for the past almost 6 years we've been broadcasting, and we say welcome aboard to our new listenership here on 710 WOR. The weekly Mind Your Business radio show features interviews with Fortune 500 executives, business leaders, and marketing gurus such as Stephen Sadov, former CEO of Saks Fifth Avenue, Beth Comstock, former vice chair and CMO at GE, Dr. Adrian Boise, the chief experience officer at the Cleveland Clinic, Dick Schulz, he's a founder and a chairman emeritus at Best Buy, among hundreds of interviews with corporate leaders. All past interviews are available by going to mybradio.com, mybradio.com, and many of them were videoed, and they are up permanently on YouTube. If you subscribe, you will automatically be notified every single time we have a episode that goes up on YouTube. Before we get to tonight's very special guest, some thank yous. Special thank you to our team here at Bottom Line Marketing Group, BLMG, Srili, Michal, Brocha, Matt, Miriam, Avigail, and Malki. I know it's a long list here, but they all play an important role in producing this great show. Also to the great team at 710 WOR and iHeartRadio. Also to Zev Brenner, the veteran radio personality who precedes me here on 710 WOR. Finally, a special shout-out to the various channels that Mind Your Business is syndicated on. Lakewood Scoop, which features the daily business class clips. Visit them at Instagram. Nucky Radio, visit them at NuckyRadio.com. The Jewish Home, which features a print summary of selected Mind Your Business show in a Q&A format. Many times I put them up my LinkedIn page. We're going to get to that in tonight's show. Business Class Clips, the daily micro-learning video clips featured on WhatsApp and Instagram, and we put them up on LinkedIn as well. And of course, we're on all the popular podcasting channels, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Player.fm, and as mentioned before, on our robust YouTube channel. Well, without further ado, getting to tonight's incredible guest, Deborah Jasper. Dr. Deborah Jasper, the CEO and founder of Mindset Digital. Mindset Digital works with Fortune 100 leaders around the world to connect in a fast-forward world while communicating with clarity and impact in today's virtual world. Deborah was named one of the top 12 female winning women entrepreneurs in North America, according to Ernst & Young. Tonight's show is that the topic is impactful communication in a world of social distancing. And therefore, we encourage you to stay tuned for tonight's edition where we will discuss impactful communication, connecting in a world of social distancing, and the power of an online presence. With that intro, a very warm welcome, Dr. Deborah Jasper. Thank you for joining me here once again on Mind Your Business.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Same here. Well, let's jump in. You know, let's start with communication in a virtual world. Is communicating virtually the next critical skill to have? And I should start with my next question. And that is, where do people start? How do you just jump in? You know, like they're like, you know, people understand it, they get it, but like I don't know how to jump in.
Yeah, there's so much, right? I do think that we talk a lot about virtual is the new reality. And it is dramatically changing how we do business. So the world changed overnight. We've all changed with it. Yeah. And I don't think that we're not going back to what we were doing. So now we have to say, what are the skills for doing business and creating impact in a virtual world where so much of what we know and love has just gone away, at least for now? I'm not saying it's not coming back, but even when it does, we'll be communicating on small screens and we're going to have to learn how to make a big impact on a small screen.
Now, Deborah, this is a very focused question and a key question. What are the three or four key points, the key tips that people should keep in mind when they're communicating virtually?
Well, let's talk about these client relationships we all have and how we get them and how we sustain them. Yeah. So the first is, of course, you're trying to get a meeting or you're trying to build a connection and you're not playing golf anymore and you're not running into people in the way that you used to. Maybe it's harder to get a lunch. You're not going to lunch anymore. So what do you do? So first, people are looking you up right now and making a quick decision about whether to take your phone call or whether to take your meeting. Mm-hmm. And so you have to have a fully optimized online presence. That's step one. We'll talk more about what the heck does that mean.
Yep.
Step two is, let's say they do take the meeting with you. You really have to know now how to lead a great Zoom call. And if you're doing a presentation virtually, you have to know how to create a, you know, a great presentation over a small screen. So what's a powerful opening? What's a powerful ending? How do you communicate effectively when the screens are much smaller and your audience is not just distant and not just distracted, they're distressed. So we can talk a little bit about the brain science of that. And then three, you have to know how to follow up with people and even how to reach out to people through email or through other approaches in a way that's short, organized, and skimmable, because people have very short attention spans, 8 seconds on average. It's not that we won't tune in longer, but we're making a snap decision right, about whether to tune into your content. So those are the three things that you really have to think about. Write for action, fully optimize on LinkedIn, and be able to lead meetings in more powerhouse ways.
Excellent. And later on in the show, I want to break that out to give people actual tips on how they can improve their Zoom calls, their Zoom conferences, et cetera.
Sure.
Deborah, beyond the online presence, what else do you need to be doing today to communicate in this new virtual world?
So a lot of it is better understanding our audience and what it means to have a virtual audience. And as I mentioned, they're not just distant, distracted, they're also distressed. But let's just talk about the brain science of distress for just a moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we know how much is coming at us. You just, there are days, right, where we all just think, we have to turn off the news. We cannot take it anymore. We're overwhelmed and overwrought.
Yeah.
So when you're trying to communicate with clients who are distressed and distant, you have to recognize the brain science shows it's harder for them to listen, it's harder for them to learn, and it's harder for them to remember what you told them. And that's why visual storytelling is going to be more powerful. Most of the information we take in through our eyes. And we're much more, 7 times more likely to remember visual information. So we'll be talking more about when you're delivering those virtual presentations, they're going to have to be highly visual if you have any hope that your client is going to remember what you told them.
Deborah, before we go to a commercial break, how can people find out more about Mindset Digital?
Sure. So, of course, you can link into me at Deborah, D-E-B-R-A, Jasper, J-A-S-P-E-R, or you can go to mindsetdigital.com, and there's lots of information there. So I would love to have folks link in and drop me a note and let me know that you heard us on the radio today, and I'd be happy to talk with them more about all of these topics.
That's Deborah Jasper. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
The future that you envision for yourself and your business is totally attainable. You need support along the way. And as entrepreneurs, having a team around you that supports you in achieving what that vision is vital. And that is something that the Covenant Group is committed to delivering.
Most of the times that people come to the Covenant Group, usually it's that they want to enjoy what they're doing, they want to have more quality time, or they want to have financial independence or financial security.
My name is Keith Deming.
I'm Norm Traynor.
And we educate and coach entrepreneurs
to build a high-performance business.
We are, in essence, design engineers, and we're helping entrepreneurs design the business that's right for them and then execute.
The idea of having somebody coach you through the hard times in the business and think through what it is to have an inventory of client activity and what it is to build a base of revenue and to think like a business person, it's just not common in our industry.
My name is Mark Parton.
I'm Dean Harder.
I'm Alvin Brown.
I'm Jay Langford.
My name is Luke Godet.
I'm Andrew McKinnon, and I'm building a high-performance business.
And I'm building a high-performance business.
And I'm building a high-performance business.
Building a high-performance business.
Learn more by visiting www.covenantgroup.com.
If you're installing hardwood or SPC or WPC vinyl flooring, do it with the highest quality products. PC Hardwood Floors, the hardwood flooring leader, has been supplying flooring professionals with the highest quality flooring materials for over 40 years. The knowledgeable team at PC Hardwood Floors will ensure that your materials will arrive at your job site by our own fleet trucks, hassle-free. With 7 locations in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, and next-day delivery, PC Hardwood Floors is the tri-state area's preferred full-service hardwood flooring distributor. Call 866-369-3232 to find out how PC Hardwood Floors can help you find the right hardwood products and finishing supplies for all your flooring projects. For a free consultation, call 866-369-3232. That's 866-369-3232. Or visit us at pchardwoodfloors.com. That's pchardwoodfloors.com.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Isaac Saftis right here on 710 WOR. My guest this evening is Deborah Jasper, Dr. Deborah Jasper, the CEO and founder of Mindset Digital. Deborah, before the pandemic, you were speaking all over the world. Perhaps you could just share with the listeners, you know, your even your background, your degree, and just so that the listeners realize who I have the pleasure and honor of talking with today.
Sure. You know, it is funny. I got into this because I was a journalist in another life, and I used to cover presidential campaigns. I'm glad I don't do that today. That does not seem like nearly as much fun as maybe it used to be.
Yeah.
But my PhD is in educational policy and leadership, and I launched the first social media fellowship for journalists in the world when I was at Ohio State in the John Glenn School. So I was working in Ukraine. We were teaching Twitter to the Ukrainian Council of Ministers as part of a democratization project. We were working with CNN, 60 Minutes, Chicago Tribune, Los Angeles Times, just helping journalists figure out how do you communicate in a world of 100 and, you know, plus really short posts.
Mm-hmm.
And today, so businesses came to us and said, love what you're doing with 60 Minutes. Can you do that with us? And we said, why, yes, we can. We can work with you and help you learn what we're teaching journalists. My dissertation was on micro storytelling, which I think is also really powerful today in this world of short attention spans.
Yep.
And I've spent a lot of time thinking about how do you apply great narrative to the business world, to the work that we do, because of course our brains are wired for storytelling.
Yep.
So that's a little bit about how I came to this. And then I was speaking I've spoken in Dubai, in Australia, lots of more than a dozen countries around the world, just helping people rethink how we communicate. And now with the pandemic, of course, those talks have become virtual. So I've given more than 60 virtual talks in the last few months. It's been incredible. I've been working in Switzerland and Australia the last month, and not there, of course, but with folks in Switzerland and Australia. So you realize doing virtual talks is really easy these days. You can travel around the world without actually in my beach house, because I'm actually in Florida right now, enjoying a little warm weather. But as you know, a lot of those invitations, it's funny, they came because people go to my LinkedIn profile and I have a highlights reel there and they look and see what I'm doing. And it drives a lot of business. And I know we did your LinkedIn makeover. So I do want to turn the tables a little bit.
That's
and
okay.
Say you asked me about LinkedIn. But, you know, we interviewed you. We wrote the powerful story
That's
of you.
Right.
And how do you think it's changed how you think about your online presence? I'd love to hear your thoughts.
So first of all, you know, I just want to be a mentor. I have to, of course, give a shout out to Matt Wiener. Matt was great. Of course, also Andrea Weber and Stephanie Bulls. Thank you so much for all the coordination for tonight's show and for Norm Trainer getting us together. Now back to your question. I'm not avoiding your question. What was great about it is as follows. When I first engaged with Mindset Digital, so, you know, like kind of everyone is like, okay, you know, I worked on my LinkedIn already. What could they do already? It's like, I'm sure it's fine. And then when Matt went through the entire process and then every single aspect from, you know, from the original wording that it shouldn't just be about me, but what I love to do for others and how it can benefit them. And really, you know, he asked me challenging questions and I was like, this is great. This is great. It's forcing me out of my comfort zone. And yet he and your team were the experts to understand really how to craft the narrative on LinkedIn. You know, I like many people, and Norm Trainer has said this many times, he said, you know, people think of their LinkedIn page as kind of the online resume. I'm like, mm-mm, no.
Yes.
So that was, it was right. A very rewarding process, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, I do love what Norm, he was, because we've always said, don't tell me what you do, tell me what you love about what you do.
Yep.
So if you go to your LinkedIn profile today, and I encourage everyone to just go look yourself up and ask, you know, would I like me? You know, people are judging you based on two things. Do I want to do business with you, and do I like you? And it is, your profile is not just your resume, to your point. It is, are you credible, but also are you relatable? And I love how Norm framed it, because he said, Deborah, you helped me realize, oh, I should not be telling the story of how great I am. I should be telling the story of how great I make my clients.
That's right.
You know, it's not about me. It's about what I do for you. Yeah. And that is a big reframing in terms of thinking of your online presence.
Correct. And that's exactly what happened to me. And since that point, there's been higher engagement. It also has, I guess it broke a little bit of a barrier. I mean, I was active on some level, but I'm definitely more active today because I get to understand, you know, it's like when you understand the technology, you just work with, you work more frequently with it because you understand it.
Yes. Well, and do you think because you look better, you're just more online, you're just more likely to link into people? Or, you know, do you feel like in the old days, maybe you thought, I hope no one looked at my LinkedIn profile. And today you're like, I hope they look me up online, right? I don't know.
Yes. No. So for me, it was fair to good. So I wasn't afraid of people.
Yours was more advanced than most.
Yeah. So that, and but at the same time, there's no question that it went, even if it went from a B- to an A+, that's still a world of a difference. Yeah. Especially in today's world where people, and let's face it, the first thing people are doing is they're either Googling or going straight to LinkedIn. Either one of the two. And of course, when they Google, LinkedIn comes up right away.
Yes, because it has a lot of search engine optimization behind it. That's right.
Yeah.
And you know, it's often hard to go to your website and find your bio, and we're just not going to spend time doing that. Right. So if your profile pops up first, you're going to click on it and read it. It's the number one thing we're doing on LinkedIn is reading people's profiles and making a big decision about, oh, yeah, I'd like to talk to you, or maybe I wouldn't, or I'd like to hire you to give a talk or not, right? So whatever you're doing, whatever kind of business you're in, you have to start with that fully optimized LinkedIn profile. And, you know, we spend 20 to 30 hours on every LinkedIn makeover we do for executives. We've done more than 1,000 C-suite and executives and LinkedIn makeovers for frontline salespeople. So that's been a big, we've learned a lot about how to tell the powerful story of you. But I think of it as a mini magazine bio. You know, as a former journalist, I'm like, oh, this is what I used to write when I covered a gubernatorial race. You know, it's a feature story. That's what it should be, a really well done feature story.
And about what they can provide for other people, not necessarily just all about, you know, like chest beating. Yay, I'm great, and this is what I'm all about.
Well, we always say skip the blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So
I love
if
when you
your
do
profile
that. Do it. Do the rant.
Here's two quick tips for listeners. If your profile starts with, you know, Bob has been in business for 25 years, no one cares. So no one cares about the history. Do not start with the history. So that's one. I always say, I would never go up to you and say, hi, my name is Deborah. Deborah is a dynamic leader. You know, we don't talk that way. And so we can't talk that way on LinkedIn. The other quick tip is if people do nothing else, at least proofread. There are a lot of busness banking officers out there. So we have to really rethink. If you look careless, if you look like you haven't even bothered to proofread, then I think you may be careless with, you know, if I do business with you, you may be careless. So we say casual is great, but casual does not mean careless.
Yeah, that's a great point. I'm sure you've interacted or heard of Shep Hyken. So we've had Shep on the show here, and what a great way that he framed the importance of being accurate and careful was that he quoted a CEO of one of the airlines, and he said as follows. He said, if a passenger on the jet pulls down his tray table and it gives a jerk, it's broken, what is the passenger thinking? Oh my, I hope the landing gear doesn't work like this.
Yes, exactly.
A scary thought.
You know, we talk about micro moments. So we believe deeply that every touch point matters.
Yeah.
We are judging you on every small touch point. And that's not just your LinkedIn profile. It's, did you send me a long meandering email? Yeah. Or is your email jargon filled and confusing? Because we say clear writing reflects clear thinking. If you send me a lot of meandering content, then I think you're kind of a meandering thinker. So all touch points, whether it's your email, whether it's your presentation, whether it's your LinkedIn profile, every touch point matters. You know, if you go into a restaurant and the service is 5-star and the restaurant is amazing, but they lose your coat at the coat check.
Yeah, that's right. That's what you remember. That's what you remember.
That. Exactly.
Yeah. I'll never forget. I was by a school dinner, a fundraising dinner. This goes back years ago. And they showed a film that was done in honor of the school, and it was amazing. It was like a 10-minute film. It was riveting. At the very end, literally in the last few seconds, there was a very bad typo. And what was amazing and unfortunate is I remember like how the whole room gave a gasp.
Yes.
And it was like, oh, that 10-minute film.
All that
it was
work.
Amazing. And
yes.
that typo, people have to realize a mistake. Like you said, casual but not careless. It's a great way of framing it.
Yes.
It can be casual.
When I give virtual talk, or even when I was on, in the old days when I was on stage, I would ask people, how many of you have made a decision about a presentation based on the title slide? And everybody raises their hand. I mean, you know, it is the title slide. Is it a bad font? Is it poorly designed? You'll make entire decisions based on that one typo or just a badly designed title slide or a poorly written LinkedIn profile. Every touch point matters. So I think that's a great story. Yeah. And then you remember it even now. Think about that.
Even now I'm saying it over of course, I'm not saying the name of the school, how embarrassing it is. But I remember that. And this happened a good 10, 15 years ago. And just bam, ouch.
It's when people email you and they misspell your name.
Yeah, that's like,
you don't forget that.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'll just share that I'm very, very careful about that. But it was like around 2 weeks ago, I actually sent an email to a prospect and I misspelled a name, something that I rarely do. I made sure, and it would do other people on the trail. I resent the email afterwards with the thing, said, my apologies, a bad typo, meaning, people also have to realize, be careful never to make the mistake. But we're human.
Right.
If you make the mistake, live up to it immediately.
You know what I have? I have a theory. We're going way off track here, but
that's
a theory I call the mortification factor. I like to work with people who, if they make mistakes, are mortified. I find that the mistakes get made. What worries me is when you work with someone and they make a mistake and they're like, no big deal. I feel better when I make a mistake, I'm mortified. And I think the mortification factor just tells you a lot about how much you care about your work. So I just sort of coined that term. I think it's funny.
I have to say, I always enjoy the opportunity of interviewing Deborah with the vast knowledge and experience that you bring to the table. This is just great radio. In case you're just tuning in, no worries. This will be up by Tuesday morning after it airs. And, of course, this will turn into a very popular YouTube episode. I believe the first one I did with Deborah probably has over 3,000 views already at this point. And if you're subscribed to my YouTube channel, you will automatically be notified every single time. So subscribe today and turn on notifications so you will automatically be notified every single time a episode goes up. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
To be successful, you need to understand what you do best and do more of it.
One of the gifts I believe that we have as entrepreneurs is to be blue sky visionaries, come up with amazing ideas, yet you're only as good as your execution. I've always had coaches my entire life. Once I got into business, coaching for me was a natural must-have. What I found in the past was most coaching programs were more focused around me earning a certain amount of income or taking a certain amount of time off versus me building a business that has value far beyond me. As soon as I engaged the Covenant Group, I could distinctly see that difference.
Working with the Covenant Group, I've gotten away from being controlling about so many of the facets of our business. It has given the people that are in my organization freedom to be creative, freedom to actually develop better ways to do things. I need a coach to help evaluate those things I'm blind to. you have a blind spot, you don't see it. Without the coach, the process in and of itself is powerful. But the coach makes it work for a guy like me, and I think, frankly, for most people.
One of the greatest benefits of working with the Covenant Group is helping to identify, what is it I do best?
My name is Keith Deming.
I'm Norm Traynor.
And we educate and coach entrepreneurs
to build a high-performance business.
Learn more by visiting www.covenantgroup.com.
Came across a great commercial real estate opportunity and need money fast? At TBG Funding, we understand the challenge. Waiting months for a bank-issued loan can cost you your project. That's where we come in. Call TBG Funding today at 718-705-9300 to get the funding you need to get your project off the ground. That's 718-705-9300. With loans closed in 23 states and over $800 million in closed loans, TBG Funding can help you close any commercial real estate deal in as little as 3 days so that you can close deals quickly and efficiently. Visit tbgfunding.com to find out how we can help you capitalize on your next opportunity. That's tbgfunding.com.
And we're back. Mind your business with Yusuf Saftless right here on 710 WORN and the iHeartRadio Network. My guest this evening is Deborah Jasper, CEO and founder of Mindset Digital. Tonight's show is presented by Mindset Digital, and we thank Deborah for, she's a rather busy individual, keynotes all around the world, and even unfortunately during these times when we're kind of in lockdown mode to a degree, she still has given 60 keynotes without leaving in general her residence or wherever she happens to be, but doing it by Zoom. And that's why we're talking with her, because every type of business out there, and the listenership of Mind Your Business includes, there have been times that I know for a fact that Fortune 500 executives have tuned in, but yet primarily the listenership are small business owners. And they're the ones that could benefit more than anyone regarding all the tips that Deborah has to share about how to handle a great Zoom conference, how to improve your LinkedIn profile, and everything like that, and how to improve your email correspondence. And therefore, I'm going to open with that. Deborah, I want to talk about writing for action. And can you explain, and I'd love when, I've heard you say this in the past, I love when you do your spiel on this, about the SOS method. It's all
sure.
Yours.
Yeah. So as a former writer, I came to business and said, wow, this old notion that you got to tell me what you're going to tell me and then tell me and then tell me what you told me, in a world with 8-second attention spans, that does not work.
Gone.
That is very old school business school advice it doesn't work today. So today what does work, you have to send every piece of content that goes out the door, and you know this because you, of course, are in marketing, but whether it's your email or marketing campaigns or evites or anything you do, it has to be short, organized, and skimmable. That's why we call it the SOS habit. We have something we call the 3 Whats. And I would just encourage everyone to use this anytime you sit down to write an email or any kind of content for your website. It has to be this. What is this message about? So what? Why does my audience care? And now what? What am I asking you to do next? If you can't answer those 3 questions, you're not ready to send the message. And the what should be, what is this about, in one sentence? I mean, you have to be able to get to the heart of it. The so what, you've got to get to that really high, because I am skimming. You know, I always ask people, what's the first thing you do when you get up in the morning? Most of us are opening our email and figuring out what we can delete without actually reading it. We all do that. Or even just skimming our email and figuring out what we can delete without even opening it. So that is a big shift. And then that, what do you do next? As you know, I think there's nothing more frustrating than getting an email and thinking, what are they asking me to do?
Right.
I don't even know why I'm getting this. So that short, organized, skimmable is a really key, it's just an essential method of sending messages to clients today, or even to our own colleagues.
Right. And as far as the what, I'm even going to ask to repeat that, because that is such great advice, whether it's an email, whether it's for a marketing firm, a press release, an ad, I think across the board. Could you repeat that? That was so insightful.
Yes. So absolutely. So whatever you're sending out, whether it is your email, as you said, or your marketing campaigns, yep, any of it, you have to be able to answer the three what's. What is this message about? So what? Why does my client or my audience care? And now what? What am I asking them to do next? So I use it all the time. Sometimes you just have to stop and remind yourself, what is the so what here? Or when I work with my team, I'll say, what do you think the so what is? So it's also great when you're having team meetings. You know, yeah, can you give me the three what's? Because it gets your team to be able to tell you in about 45 seconds, here's what I'm trying to convey. And it keeps your team meetings moving faster.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yep.
So
forces, and I hate to say this bluntly, but it forces people to think.
Yes. It's the clear yeah, writing reflects clear thinking. Yep. If you can do that work up front, here's the beauty. When you apply SOS, and we work with a lot of Fortune 100 firms, but we've launched this with a Fortune 10 company, and they found on average people were saving 2.5 hours a week. That will save you 3 weeks a year. And who wouldn't rather have 3 weeks to do something besides check email? And part of it is you get faster responses because when you send shorter, cleaner, clearer emails, people get back to you more quickly. You can set up 3 times more meetings, and you get rid of a lot of that back and forth where people are like, what are you asking me?
Yeah.
So that it's a great methodology for saving time and getting a lot of your Saturdays back. I had someone email me once and say, Deborah, I got my Saturdays back. Thank you. And that just makes me happy. So there is that. I was going to have one more quick thing. And that is also, we talk about ARC, which is clear calls to action, clear recommendations, and clear context. So you don't always have a call to action, but most of us do. We need mm-hmm. something happening in an email. Mm-hmm. And the big mistake we see, especially salespeople making, is they'll give me 5 calls to action. And what does your client do? They ignore all of them.
That's right.
It's just too much.
That's right. Right. It has to be very, very focused and bite-sized, because if it's going to be too many, they're not even addressing 1 out of the 5. They're just tuning out to all 5.
You know, Yitzhak, we have 58,000 people taking the SOS training at one particular company,
wow,
which is very exciting. Wow. And a lot of it gets down to if you think about it, we all got into business. We spend hours a day on email and no one's ever been trained in it. And so just getting people to clarity, you know, helping them understand that brief plus specific equals clear is a critical formula that we can all benefit from.
Now, Deborah, perhaps you did touch on it, but just about the tone, how important is it to communicate a specific tone when communicating virtually or even in person? How important is tone?
So I love that question, because sometimes people will say, people will think I'm rude. And it's like, no, short does not mean rude. You can still take a moment to say, hello, Deborah, versus Deborah, don't bark at me.
Right, right.
And you can still say, you know, it was terrific talking with you yesterday. I mean, it's fine to have some personality. We're just saying, don't meander. Don't go on and on. You've got to get to the point. But tone is even harder these days in a virtual world. And there's some great studies coming out. It's harder to read body language when you can't, all you can see is a small part of me on a screen. There's a lot around tone that's just tougher. And tone, of course, there's a lot of misunderstood emails out there. You meant something. This is why emojis came along, because you're trying to convey that you mean this in a friendly way, people can take it the wrong way. So let me give you one of my favorite quick tips about tone. I have 5 fast fixes around tone, but one of them is around priming for the positive. And I did a whole show on this the other day for a group in Australia, actually. Mm-hmm. And it really is, this is just key. All of us have to think more about all the negative words we use. And here's a quick example. If you do nothing else out of the radio show today, ban the word unfortunately from every email. So if you email Stephanie on my team and say, Stephanie, is Deborah available at 10 a.m. next week? She would never say, unfortunately, Deborah is not available on Tuesday. You know, if you say, is she available mm-hmm. at 10 a.m. on Tuesday? What mm-hmm. she would say is, Deborah can make 9 a.m. on Wednesday work. It's a very simple thing, but you're starting with what you can do versus what you can't. And small things like that, again, it goes back to that every touch point matters,
yeah.
can make a huge impact in how your client just feels about doing business with you.
Now, Deborah, you've actually touched on this, but I want to just still stay on this for a drop longer. How can, this is especially important for all the salespeople out there, how can someone convey to their clients that they truly understand their challenges, meaning that the challenge of the person that they're interacting with?
Sure. You know, it's so funny. Let me give you an example. I hired a salesperson once, and we were working with a big bank, and she sent a note to the bank, to our client there, and said, I'm the new salesperson. I'm really looking forward to meeting you and finding out more about your work. And of course, he never got back to her. And I said, let me give you a small suggestion. You know, we're going to apply SOS, and we're going to talk with clear calls to action and all of that. Let's change this email, because what we knew is the bank was needed. They were choosing their social media platform. And instead, she sent back a note and said, hi, Tom, Deborah, let me know that you're choosing your new social media platform. And we are partners with two of them, so we can give you a lot of insights into what both of them offer. Are you available at 10 a.m. on Tuesday? If that doesn't work, let me know what does and we'll coordinate. He got back to her in an hour. Because now it wasn't about I'm new and I just want to learn what you do. It's about I know what you're solving for and I actually have expertise in that and I'm going to help you solve for it. So it just goes back to the don't tell me what you do, tell me what you're going to do for me.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Before we go to a break, you touched on it earlier, but the importance of micro learning, micro stories, especially in today's environment.
Yes. I want to say one word about storylines.
Yeah.
So I have a whole masterclass called Design for Attention, where we teach people how to deliver powerful presentations. And in the first one, we talk about narrative, you know, great openings, great endings. In the second, we talk about visual storytelling. But in the third, we talk about micro stories, how to build those, and how to create storylines. And you have a lot of great storylines. I've heard you talk about them. You know, one of the ones we talked about today that we use a lot is casual does not mean careless.
Right.
That's an example of a storyline that's memorable. You know, people will pick up their pen and write that down.
That's right.
So in business, you want to have some good storylines that are easy to remember, easy for people to repeat, that people will just take with them. So that's an important, it's even shorter than a micro story, but is just a quick thing that you say that people go, oh yeah, I'll remember that.
Tonight's show, presented by Mindset Digital, is featuring Deborah Jasper, the CEO and founder of Mindset Digital. Deborah, before we go to a break, how can people find out more about your amazing firm?
Sure. So go to mindsetdigital.com or link in to me at Deborah Jasper. And of course, write me a note. I'd love to hear what you're solving for, but it's DeborahJasper. You can find me on LinkedIn at Mindset Digital.
We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Finally, a payroll service that does things your way. At Brands Paycheck, you're not a number, you're a partner. Brands Paycheck's personalized payroll solutions ensure that your business receives your financial information the way you want it. From complete payroll services and time tracking to benefits administration and HR solutions, Brands Paycheck helps streamline your business's payroll process and maximize productivity. Call 888-757-3020. That's 888-757-3020 to schedule a free consultation. Brands Paycheck services a wide range of industries nationwide, including hospitality, transportation, B2B, B2C, nonprofit, finance, retail, healthcare, real estate, and more. Learn why companies nationwide rely on Brands Paycheck. Call 888-757-3020. That's 888-757-3020 to schedule a free consultation today. Or visit online at BrandsPaycheck.com. That's BrandsPaycheck.com.
We're all in a rush these days. We're running to meetings, to finish a project. When do we have time to educate ourselves? Enter Business Class, the free daily 60-second video clip featuring advice from C-level executives and business giants such as Beth Comstock, Jeffrey Hazlett, Joe Hart, Shep Hyken, and many more. Follow us on Instagram at Business Class Clips. That's at Business Class Clips on Instagram. Or sign up for our WhatsApp daily broadcast by texting SIGNUP to 718-594-6519 on WhatsApp. These free 1 minute or shorter business class video clips cover building trust, finance, leadership, marketing, branding, goal setting, among many other primary business topics. Follow us on Instagram at Business Class Clips. That's at Business Class Clips on Instagram, or sign up for our WhatsApp daily broadcast by texting sign up to 718-594-6519 on WhatsApp. Again, text sign up on WhatsApp to 718-594-6519 or follow at Business Class Clips on Instagram to receive your free business class every day from celebrity business leaders. Business Class on Instagram or WhatsApp. Get ready to get ahead.
Mind Your Business here on 710 WOR. Tonight's show, Impactful Communication. In a world of social distancing, and my guest is none other than Deborah Jasper, the founder and CEO of Mindset Digital. It's always great being on the set with Deborah because she has so much to share. In case you're just tuning in, where were you? But it's going to turn into a podcast, into a video cast. So no worries. This will be up on YouTube, and therefore, subscribe today to our YouTube channel, 710 WOR Mind Your Business. When you subscribe and turn on notifications, you will automatically be notified when this episode, if you're watching, great. But what about the next time we have a great episode that goes up? When you subscribe and turn on notifications, you will automatically be notified when we post it up on YouTube. Well, Deborah, you were talking about storylines before. You're talking about storylines.
Yes, good, memorable one-liners, and I have to put you on the spot. Do you have a good storyline? I have to ask.
Yeah,
I feel like we all should have one or two in business.
And of course, when you're in business for a while, you start to notice things, and then they become your storylines. I love to share with people: plan for plan A, prepare for plan B.
That's a great storyline. Yes. Yeah, it's funny. You end up having them, and until you name them, you probably don't even recognize.
That's
but there
right.
are always good storylines that you say with your clients that are just memorable one-liners that they take with them.
Yeah, and it's from events or projects that we've been involved with. And then as life moves along and the challenges come along the way, to me one day, plan for plan A. Of course, you got to do your planning, but prepare for plan B.
That's brilliant. I like it a lot. I'm going to put that on my
Thank
board.
Thank you. Thank you.
I put that along with Norm Trainers. I always love
Thank
only
you.
Do what only you can do.
That's
Delegate everything
one.
Else. It's a great one-liner that Norm Trainer always shares.
Thank you.
And another one of mine is to inform, you must first engage.
Yeah.
Because so often people just want to give you all the information they want to give you without engaging you in it.
Yeah.
And that's not very valuable.
Yeah, data dump.
Exactly. The data dump is the number one flaw in presentations. Yeah. It's too much content and distracting visuals. Yes.
Yeah. Let's go to perhaps one of the most important topics that we can get to in tonight's show, and that is Zoom meetings. and listen, we're all, whatever the expression is.
Zooming through our days, right?
Zooming through our days. Zoom
yes.
fatigue, Zoom burnout. But at the same time, it's here to stay. So don't just ignore it. Don't say, I'm not getting on one more Zoom call, because then you'll be out of business. What are your tips to ace it when handling Zoom conferences, Zoom calls, Zoom meetings?
Yeah. So as I was talking about that design for attention class, I want to start with kind of what we talk about to begin with, which is really a good presentation on Zoom is difficult, right? If you're leading webinars or you're doing a client presentation on Zoom, you do have to think about narrative. So you have to think about your strong opening. And I will go back to your opening should be the what. What does the client care about? So what? Why does the client care? And now what? What do I need them to do? So you want to build that into your presentation. You want to have the magic of three. We talk a lot about, I'm going to give you three key points, because we have short attention spans. We can't stay with you if you have 10. And you have to have a powerful ending. And one of my big tips for Zoom calls these days, whether you're doing a presentation or you're just on a client call, is never end on questions. You want to own the ending. And the reason you don't want to end on questions is because we've all been there. There's nothing worse than saying, and so what questions do you have? And then it's crickets. There's nothing.
Right.
So it just takes the energy out of the room. You're like, okay, well, thank you. Or you say, what questions do you have? And someone has a really complex question you don't know the answer to.
Yeah. Oh,
you don't want to end there.
That's right.
So instead, what you do is you say, I'm going to wrap up, but first, what questions do you have? And it just gives you a question. Once, whether there are no questions or there are questions, you can say, okay, those are great questions. Thanks so much. Now let me wrap up. And then you get to own the end of the webinar or own the end of the meeting. And ideally, you're going to own it with a storyline, you know, something memorable, something the client will take away that will remind them that they want to do business with you.
That's a great one. Own the ending.
Yes, own the ending. That's a big, absolutely helps in these kind of virtual calls. So that's the narrative structure. The second part of when I do Design for Tension masterclasses, I really delve into that visual storytelling, which, as I said, the studies are showing between 70 and 90% of the information we take in we take in through our eyes. So we take it in visually. Visuals can double memory. Your memory recognition. So you need to, don't just tell me a story, you need to show me a story. So if you are walking the client through financial data or numbers, you're going to have to unpack that in a more visual way. And you've got to design for a small screen now. So there's nothing worse than putting up a slide and saying, I know you can't see this, but.
Yeah.
You know, we've all seen that. And you're putting on your glasses and you're peering at the screen. If you, we have something we call, I'm giving you lots of tips today, I know, but we have something we call the 3-second rule. If I can't make sense of your slide in 3 seconds, you have to rework the slide.
Yeah.
And those are just some big shifts that are coming because your audience is distracted. Maybe the cat's walking in front of their screen. Maybe their kids are talking to them. There is a lot going on. And, you know, they're in their bedroom at home trying That's to work. Right. It's just a different, our lives have changed. Our clients have changed. Their expectations have changed.
Now, Deborah, you shared some tips, but perhaps you have some additional tips on how someone can strengthen their presentations virtually.
Yes. And so the third part of this is, of course, adding more visuals. And then the third part of the masterclass, we really delve into micro storytelling, those storylines, but also delivery. As you well know, sound matters. Yeah. The other, you know, it's very important that you do not start your webinar by reading to me. There's a reason that we read to kids and they go to sleep. That's what I heard someone say yesterday. If you start by reading to me, it's not going to be a very effective meeting. So that doesn't work. I don't need you to read to me. So there's some things that, and then of course you have to think about your lighting. You have to think about your background. You have to think about just the technical aspects. You really have to go on and take some of those free YouTube videos to make sure you know where the mute button is. And just all of that will either up your credibility or lower your credibility if you don't spend enough time feeling comfortable with the platform that you're using.
Now, Deborah, how can people learn more and get engaged about themselves? And in fact, with this question, I love you said it earlier in the show. You said, if I'm going to look at my LinkedIn profile and say, okay, do I like me? You said something like that. Do I like me?
I know it's really true. You go to your LinkedIn profile and think, well, would I link into me? You know, we talk sometimes in those, speaking of storylines, those are true for LinkedIn profiles too. So a lot of times in your profiles, you know, we say, just give us one line at the bottom of your about section that's more personable. This is not Facebook, but one line. And one of my favorites, mine, of course, is away from work, you'll find me on the water, whether I'm boating on Lake Erie or I'm skiing out west. And that's been great because a lot of my clients turned out they're boaters and they see that and they're like, I didn't know you were a boater. What kind of boat do you have? And immediately you get into a great conversation.
That's right.
But my favorite one-liner is I was working with a C-suite executive, a CMO at a big insurance firm. And he wanted to say, you know, away from work, I'm on the golf course, which is just kind of boring. So if 1,000 other people can say it, it's not that, you know, just not that engaging.
Yep.
Instead, I encouraged him to think about how do you turn this into something more fun and more memorable. So now he says, away from work, I'm an infrequent and frightening golfer. A much better one-liner. And he texted me later and said, Deborah, the number of comments I've gotten on that one line of my LinkedIn profile, and immediately his likability goes up.
Right.
I just like him more.
Right.
So
he's human. I could connect to him.
Yes.
He's not.
Yes.
He kind of took off a layer of just, you know, of distancing from others by just, you know, having something that's very static and stoic and just very,
yes,
very
exactly
stuggy.
Too often. And I keep promising I'm going to write a blog post on this and I haven't yet. But why your business suit is costing you business. You know, especially today, you don't see a lot of people getting on Zoom meetings in suits because it would feel incongruous. We know you're at your house, or it would feel silly. You know, I'm not even seeing women wearing a lot of jewelry these days. And it's just gotten a lot more informal. Right. I think that's absolutely true as well for our online presence and for our communication. Why would we build really formal barriers? We're trying to get to know each other. We're trying to build relationships. One of the big questions I get all the time is, should I have a fake background in my Zoom calls?
Right. It's a great question.
I put my logo
great question.
My background.
Great question.
So here's my thinking. I'd love to hear what you think about this.
Okay.
But my thinking is, if I'm on a one-on-one call with you and I have my logo flashing in the background, it just feels very pitchy and not authentic. If I'm on a one-to-one call with you and, you know, you look where I am now and there's an anchor in the background,
yeah,
you know, I like boating.
Yeah.
It just gives you a little bit of clues as to kind of who I am and all of that. I happen to be renting a house right now on
That's
the beach.
Great.
So this isn't
That's
actually
great.
My anchor, but still, yeah, you know, you just feel like you get to know me better. And I think we're just trying to look for clues that bring us closer together, and fake backgrounds do not build authenticity.
You know, it's a great conversation because you definitely can make the case. Like, I know I was on a conference call with a bank just the other day, and they had their logo in the background. To me, I was impressed because, you know, that the person is taking the time to think through their presentation, and they did. It was actually an executive at a bank. It wasn't just so. You know, maybe the way I would put it is, if I was just, let's say, schmoozing with my local banker, then, you know, you could be more formal or informal rather, and just be mm-hmm. more comfortable. But if I'm dealing with an executive, I still want to make sure that they take their position seriously.
Sure. No, and I do think it matters. This is where I go back to casual does not mean careless. I was on a call the other day and a guy was in his, you know, doing a Zoom call from his bedroom and his bed wasn't made.
Yeah.
And it was
very
distracting.
Yeah. That's,
you're like, you can't do a Zoom call with, I mean,
yeah,
your background, even if it's your house, it needs to look nice.
Yeah.
It needs to look like you've spent a little bit of time making sure that it looks nice. So now I will say, I used a background when I was giving a talk for Retail Global recently, because they gave us the background. We were on a panel. They wanted us all to look aligned. There are times, of course, you need one.
Yeah.
But if you're in a one-on-one call with a client that you're trying to build relationships with and they're not using a background and, you know, they're at home and you're not using one, then I think it can elevate more of a sense of the personal.
Yeah. Yeah, and very possibly, especially once it's like the second or third call, once you have a relationship with someone,
yes,
then certainly, you know, you don't have to be.
So I think the answer there is it depends, but I don't think you want to show up super formal because you're just putting some barriers between you and the person you're trying to actually get to know.
Very fair point. We're getting close to the close. The time flies, especially when I have such a great guest. It's just like, what? We're already on for almost, you know,
yeah,
for almost
45
minutes. It just goes very fast. Before I get to ask you to share any final thoughts, perhaps you could share. This is a new feature that we have since we joined the iHeartRadio network, where we ask each guest to share a thought, you know, a quick thought, based on either both of their initials or one of their initials. So with DJ, it's up to you. Please, you know, share a great tip.
Wow, I have so many of these. Because with D, you can say, do this, or there's many things that you could do here, right?
Yeah.
Let's go back to the priming for the positive that we were talking about earlier when I was talking about banning, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Another quick tip often when we talk about that is the D is avoiding diminishing words.
Yeah.
So just helping people start to think about ways that they may be lowering their own gravitas. And the J would be one example of this. And Google and Apple say there's one word that lowers your credibility, and that word is just. Mm. And it's when you say just checking in, just wondering if, it's considered sort of a diminishing word that can lower your credibility or make you seem a little less senior, you know, a little more junior in your outreach. So here's what I say. I say do conscious override. It's not that I never use it, but if I do use it, I'm using it in a way that I'm very aware that I'm using it. So think about your diminishing words. There's lots of these. This is when you say, so sorry for the delay, exclamation point. You're priming the client for delay. Instead, at the end, say thank you for your patience. Yeah. You know, do not make things bigger than they are. So I would say avoid those diminishing words.
Deborah, as we approach the close, any final thoughts?
You know, I so appreciate getting a chance to talk today about how we do business in a virtual world. And we started out by saying virtual is the new reality. I do think that that means that all of us have to basically do business in a new way. We're going to have to work hard and learn new skills if we want to make a big impact on a small screen. That means we have to think differently, write differently, present differently, and overall just communicate with more power, clarity, and impact because our audiences are distant, distracted, and distressed. So appreciate the chance to talk through some of that more. It's a fascinating time to be doing this work, and it's an exciting time to be doing the work, but there's a lot of work to do for sure.
Dr. Deborah Jasper, CEO and founder of Mindset Digital. This wraps up an amazing edition of Mind Your Business right here on 710 WOR and the iHeartRadio Network. Tune in again next Sunday night for another great edition of Mind Your Business. Have a successful week.
710 WOR and the iHeartRadio Network present Mind Your Business, hosted by the president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis. Founded in 1992, Bottom Line Marketing Group is a strategic, creative, and execution-driven marketing agency, helping businesses by clarifying and promoting their vision, mission, and purpose to support its lead generation and customer retention initiatives to gain market share in their industry. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday evening at 10 p.m. for this intriguing radio show as Yitzhak interviews Fortune 500 executives, business leaders, and marketing gurus from a wide variety of business industries. Now, Yitzhak and his guests offer their knowledge and expertise to help you be successful every Sunday night on Mind Your Business.
We're all in a rush these days. We're running to meetings to finish a project. When do we have time to educate ourselves? Enter Business Class, the free daily 60-second video clip featuring advice from C-level executives and business giants such as Beth Comstock, Jeffrey Hazlett, Joe Hart, Shep Hyken, and many more. Follow us on Instagram at Business Class Clips. That's at Business Class Clips on Instagram. Or sign up for our WhatsApp daily broadcast by texting SIGNUP to 718-594-6519 on WhatsApp. Get ready to get ahead.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.